Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Solid Performance Solution. Chris McCabe here with Leah McHugh. Leah, how are you?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Great. We're fresh back from being out west, the Prosper Show. We had a booth there. We talked to numerous very concerned brand owners with all the challenges they're facing. You're consistently faced with challenges selling your brand on Amazon, but at this point, you're getting squeezed from a couple of sides. The markets are in turmoil, and no one's sure what's going on with tariffs and a potential trade war. And then on the Amazon side, kind of accustomed to being surprised or having the rug yanked out from under you, whether it's a new fee or a non-fee fee or policy changes. So, of course, we spent a lot of time advising everyone to not just, you know, be nimble and agile and ready to adapt to change, but to prepare for craziness coming down the pike. This is why we always emphasize account health management reviews. And I'm sure you talk to lots of brands about compliance reviews so that they can, I would guess, be ready for documentation requests, but also other compliance needs. So I guess in your conversations with people at the Prosper Show, did you have the sense that they were just scrambling so much that they weren't ready for a compliance review, or were they thinking ahead and concerned about it enough to prepare somewhat?
To be fair, most of my conversations with sellers, they are not ready for compliance reviews.
Why would they not be ready when they know they're already facing adverse situations, cost challenges, higher ad costs, worse competition, Amazon experimenting with AI to yank down listings here and there? Like, are they just focused on crisis management and they're forgetting the day-to-day of compliance?
Most of the people I speak with don't actually know the compliance requirements for their products. So a lot of times they don't even know that these are required until Amazon shuts down their listing and asks for them. So that's where the majority of my conversations are. I mean, I'm not saying all sellers are like that. Certainly there are sellers that are prepared who do have the documentation ready and then Amazon just doesn't accept it for no apparent reason. And that's a different conversation. But I think for most of the people that I speak with, compliance isn't the forefront of what they're thinking about. They're thinking about sales optimization and ads and things like that rather than legal compliance and how having that ready will save them money and make them money.
Yeah, I mean, but isn't there greater awareness just because of the sheer number of listings that are down and the types of messages they get from Amazon showing, you know, Amazon's kind of interestingly showing more interest in compliance enforcement now. So aren't they driven by that fear or just generally aware that they're going to be asked for more stuff? I mean, the example jumping to mind right now is that you have to use the predetermined list of Amazon labs testing, right? Isn't that the best example?
Yeah, but I still speak to a lot of sellers who aren't aware of that until Amazon takes out one of their listings.
When you were giving your talk, and I was in the booth flying solo, and I had people approaching me, asking me questions like that, because obviously you work on the compliance appeals we do. My first question to everybody was, does the messaging specify requests for documentation that you don't have or that it would take you time to get? So I don't know. I got the sense that people have a greater awareness than last year or the year before that they're going to be asked for stuff that they might not have ready. Now, some of the conversations I had were about sellers who don't have invoices that'll be acceptable.
Yep.
And it was just like, I mean, most sellers know you have invoices for everything you list.
Well, so that's the same kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
You would think that all sellers would know that at this point. It's been so many years. But we still get contacts from many sellers who don't have the right supply chain documentation.
Right. I think at this point, since a lot of sellers who make even single solitary mistakes will be pushed to the brink of their business operating or not operating in the future, they're motivated just even from that fear to do some of this research ahead of time. Granted, we're talking to sellers of the Prosper Show who might be a cut above in terms of their knowledge base or their awareness. But we're also putting lots of stuff on LinkedIn that sellers who don't go to the Prosper Show are consuming, right? I think the stark reality is that you can't afford not to know these things and to wait until an appeal is being requested. Like, some people are still approaching us saying, dash off an appeal for me, but they don't have the documentation, right?
We've talked about that before, that they're not just looking for an appeal at this point, especially for compliance, it's mostly documentation. I think the issue for many people that we work with who have run into issues is that they're still looking at these things as a cost center. So they don't want to make the investment in getting the required documentation and the required testing, or even the right kind of suppliers. They're looking at a cost center. They're not looking at it as a profit center. Whereas if you think about it in terms of, well, one, you're more likely that your product won't kill someone, which is always a good thing. If you also look at it as if I have this documentation ready to go, if anything happens with my listing or account even, I'll have the documentation I need to quickly resolve this. That turns it into not necessarily a profit center, but you can sort of think of it as a profit center because you're now not losing all of the sales that you would have lost had you not had the documentation when asked for it.
I just hope that people catch on to this a little faster than they do the usual trends, because it's going to be a make or break.
It's interesting to me because you would think that Amazon would be following the government trends. And the government trends currently in the United States is reducing regulatory compliance and reducing government oversight in these things. But it seems that Amazon is actually going the opposite way, where we're seeing a lot more compliance-related takedowns on the Amazon side while those regulatory bodies in this country are being stripped.
Right. I think it's more because Amazon sees a future where there's going to be fewer smaller brands, and this rides along with that.
Oh, like, I just think they haven't caught up to the trends yet.
They haven't caught up to the trends, but Amazon's trends are, we know these cost challenges are affecting different size sellers in different ways, but we're okay with that, right? If you go back a little ways, I think they were kind of like, no, they wanted to see just a couple of years. They wanted to see brands, you know, even smaller brands, double and triple revenue over the first 18, 24 months. And they were okay with that. And they were like, not necessarily pushing all buttons to reduce the competitiveness of a smaller brand the way it's happening right now. I mean, now with tariffs on top of whatever fees or non-fee increases are going to come up and policy changes that'll also amount to fees, unless you've got some sort of strategic plan for the rest of the year that accounts for all the challenges you may face. I mean, we're dealing with people who are, I don't know, maybe doing more DIY with their appeals. And then we look at the results, right? Which are negligible. So
I think it's across the board. It's just appeals. I think there's a lot more people doing things in-house than, say, a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
When everyone was flushed in e-commerce.
Well, I think people, I mean, maybe this isn't true. We can, you know, talk to our friends at Better Media about it, but maybe people are going to draw down their ad spend or try to manage their ads on their own. Then things like A-plus content, are people just going to dive in and do AI all the time, no matter what the results are, good or bad, just because they don't want to hire a content agency to do their A-plus content? I mean, whatever it may be, or their videos, right? Whatever it may be, I think there's going to be a stark difference between the people that make the right decisions now versus the wrong ones.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I say that to you because you've seen people cut corners and work with the wrong manufacturer, filing the wrong documentation because they're working with people who started like making stuff up, right?
Yes, that one I see a lot. For our listeners, don't do that.
Yeah.
That is fraud.
Yeah. Even if you don't mind the risk associated with it, you could lose your whole account over that. And that's not
illegal in many of those cases.
Yeah. So, not to come out of the conversations we had at Prosper with dark and gloomy across the board, but obviously now's the time to be smart.
I don't think it's dark and gloomy across the board.
Decisions.
I'm optimistic that I think what we're going to see is that, because all of this is cyclical, right? I mean, I've been in e-commerce long enough. I've seen the cycle a few times now. I think what we're going to see is that there is going to be a greater demand for the low-cost goods, which is something that we've been seeing a lot of in recent years anyway. But I also think there'll be the opposite swing of So you'll have the people that are interested in the low-cost goods, but you'll also have people that are still interested in the quality brand and the quality product, because what we see in a lot of recessions is that people are looking for little, like, treats, you know? Like, for example, lipstick sales tend to go up during a recession because it's an affordable treat for people. Chocolate sales also tend to go up in any sort of a recession. So not that we are technically in a recession. I think we're going to see that swing to, yes, people will be wanting low-cost goods and there will be that price competition. But I also think that there will still be a demand for maybe some of the, like, higher ticket type items or low ticket but high quality items as well.
Yeah, there will be some positives. Unfortunately, I'm seeing, I don't know if at the conference I saw people panicking right in front of me, but I'm seeing a lot of panic resulting in bad decision making.
Well, and that's key. The people that don't panic, you know, are going to be the ones that come out of it the best, which is usually the case, to be honest.
Yeah. Which, I mean, that's the silver lining here. It's not just about how big you are, how much resources you have. That's a huge part. But there are going to be some competitors you have that are bigger, stronger, more resources than you, who are going to panic, and you're not going to panic. And you're going to have an advantage over them because they're going to start making mistakes. When it comes to Amazon making mistakes with what we do every day in terms of appeals, troubleshooting problems, means you're costing yourself days of sales and money.
I remember having a conversation a few years ago with Carlos Alvarez, and I believe he actually got this from a book, but I don't remember what book it is, so I'm going to attribute it to him. One of the things that he does with his team is it's a mind exercise of what can put us out of business. And so they brainstorm different things that could happen that could negatively affect their business. And by brainstorming that, that gives them the opportunity to create plans to mitigate those risks. And I think the businesses that are doing that forward planning, those are the ones that are going to do the best.
Yeah, I agree. But that's not something you hear a lot. We hear it a lot in our circles because we deal with suspensions and so forth. But competitors attacking each other and Amazon screwing up and costing people, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars in the interim. But like you said, a lot of people want to go to, like, a mastermind or an event and talk about just sales and revenue generation, because that's a real threat. Your competitors might make a lot more this year than you do, and that gives them a war chest to spend on ad and content and to pay fees and do lots of things on Amazon that you might not be able to do. But there's another side to that coin, which is protecting and defending what you've got, not just creating a bigger pile, right?
Well, and having that ability to alter course is huge. Yeah. And so that forward planning is much easier when things are being thrown at you from all different directions. If you already have some semblance of a plan in place, it's that much easier to react and not panic and make the right decisions. I think pivoting is pretty crucial. I mean, in most industries, but I think in e-commerce in particular, because it does move very fast. So having that ability to pivot and make the right decisions in a crisis is what separates those that survive and those that don't.
Excellent note to end on. I'm sure we'll revisit this again as we get closer and closer to these wonderful spring sales and, of course, prime days, which is more like prime week. I'm going to start saying prime week. I tried doing that last year, and I guess I was right that they were going to expand it from 2 days to many more. And now it's 4 days for this year. So let's just start calling it prime week. And these are the kinds of decisions people need to make now for 3 months from now, you know? Thanks again for listening in. We will catch you next week. And thank you, Leah, for joining me.